You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All 8 episodes of To Die For are available now to binge absolutely free. But for ad-free listening and exclusive bonuses, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts.
Warning: the following episode contains explicit language and sexual themes. Listener discretion is advised.
There was a very big shooting competition in the military academy with over 1,000 participants. The colonel called me. He said, "Listen, you're one of the best gun shooters. I want you to participate in this competition. And it's very important because, first of all, it will give you financial bonus. And second, you'll make our academy like to be one of the best. So I want you to participate in this competition." I said, "Yeah, of course, I would love that." He said, "Okay, you need to practice more, so come to the shooting range every day after your lessons." So I came to the shooting range and he gave me pistolet Makarov, the handgun Makarov. Usually we are in the shooting range with lots of people, students, and that moment it was only me and him. And I've heard some stories that sometimes, very rarely, it happened when student kill another student by accident. And the student didn't go to jail because it was accident. So I took this gun and it was heavy and cold. And it was so powerful because it's just a power to know that you can kill someone with this gun. So I was standing there and I was thinking, if I shoot him right now, can I prove that it was an accident? Well, that moment, I just had anger and I had that thought that if I will kill him right now here, there's no witnesses. It's only me and him. I was holding this gun and Colonel was behind me telling me how I should stand and look at the target. And I was so close to doing that. But I didn't do it. I said to myself, I should wait. Because patience is another important skill. Agent has to be very, very patient because you never know, but life will always give you chance to do the revenge. And it was given to me later.
I had to. Episode 7, Chapter 15, The Necklace.
The major female teacher said to us, "You know when you will be ready? When you can seduce anyone with your eyes."
And the students, the major believed, were finally ready. The time had come for the ultimate application of this knowledge, a real-world demonstration. So the major took Aaliyah and the other students out of the academy and into town for the first time.
We went to the bar, kind of like lounge bar, and she said, "Okay, just like look what I'm doing, and then you repeat the same."
The major's goal was to demonstrate the most important technique of sexpionage, to get the target to make the initial approach to the agent and try to pick her up, to think the seduction is their idea, not the agent's.
She said that my target would be that guy who is sitting there surrounded by his crew. He's the main guy there because everybody bring him drinks. So I need to seduce him. How do I do it? Watch me. And our major female teacher, she walked like a queen. And every single guy who was sitting there, they just looked at her. She was just like walking, very relaxed, wearing her high heels and pencil skirt. Her shirt was a little bit open, so you can see her beautiful cleavage. She walked inside, and every single chair at the bar was busy. But when she walked, she stopped and she looked to a man next to her, like who was sitting at the bar chair. And he automatically just turned up and he offered her to sit there. So she did it with only her eyes. Like, I was really impressed. She opened her purse and she took like a cigarette. All this like man who was next to her, they lighten it up for her. She didn't even say thank you.
Aaliyah watched with admiration as the major worked the room, getting free drinks from the men there and talking with them just enough to capture the attention of her target.
Eventually, he stood up and he came to her offering her drink. That's how she did it. She provoked him by competition.
By the end of the demonstration, the major had the target eating out of her hands. It was proof to Aaliyah that these methodical techniques worked quickly and powerfully in real life. By now, Aaliyah's world at the military academy had become focused on two people. First, the major, who she deeply admired as a teacher and as a woman. And secondly, the colonel, who she deeply manipulated to think she admired him as a teacher and as a man.
So I was constantly asking him questions and constantly learning. And of course, as a teacher, first of all, he loved that. A little, stupid, silly, 18 years old student was listening to him with all respect. And he shared a lot with me. So eventually he shared so many things about his childhood and his issues and his family and his wife and kids. So I knew about him like everything, like my five fingers.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you solve a crime in reverse? when you believe that someone was murdered, but have no clue who the victim was.
We have to do our job, and we have to find out, who did they kill? If it's possible, how are we going to do that?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Eventually, those two worlds, these two teachers, would come into conflict because as Aaliyah's seduction of the colonel began to transition from lust to mentorship to love, something unexpected happened.
It wasn't just sex. Maybe like 90% of our time, we would talk. And he evolved into our relationship because of these conversations. When I looked into his eyes, with full of love and admiration, and when I would tell him, "Oh my love, you're so tired. You have so many things on your shoulders. I just want to help you. Just relax and close your eyes and I'll be here for you." And he became addicted to that.
Aaliyah then combined this with an even more powerful technique, one that really pushed the colonel over the edge into infatuation. It was something she learned in her class with the major called Circles of Hell.
Circles of Hell technique. It's similar when you train a dog, to be honest, the way you train a man. In the beginning, with Cornell, I gave him everything, but it wasn't really me. I was playing. If he would do something good to me, I would give him massage, I would please him, or like do whatever he wants. But if he wouldn't do what he usually does, so for example, if he would say something like not nice, I would just go quiet and ignore him, like a bit, where I just put a distance. So he feels like, oh, something is wrong, but he doesn't know why. So it kind of like hooks him. And then he tries to do more. He puts more efforts. He thinks about me. So then he is obsessed. Then he does something good. Then, okay, I let him to come closer. The target has always think that it's always a challenge. It's always an effort. It's always like I do one step, I get something. If I do something bad, I go to step back. It's like levels of game. So this is the Circle of Hell technique. And it's perfect for any relationship with any targets.
This technique was extremely effective on the colonel. And soon, he was doing things for Aaliyah that she never could have imagined when she first plotted her revenge.
He invited me to like spa resort hotel with a lake and everything. And he was drinking and he was loud and he was funny and he felt himself like 20 years old boy. And we spoke a lot. I went into the mood of being just a little girl. And eventually, when he said these words, "When I will die, I know that you will come to my grave to speak with me because you love me. I know you love me." So that moment I understood that that's it. He's there. He really trusts me and he felt in love. They have total control. The moment he abused me, the moment I walked out from that office with tears in my eyes, feeling absolutely like shit, feeling disgraced, I think my father's voice was inside of my head and it's always there telling me, "You cannot give up." So what do I do? I decided to become the best student to learn every single technique. They said the strongest power that woman has is to make man fall in love.
Because once he's there, then it's just the perfect power. You can do then everything you want. So till the moment when he told me these words, I felt like, yes, motherfucker, I did it. Now I will show you. It was so hard and it took me so long, but I fucking did it and you'll pay for it.
Aaliyah's plan had worked all too well. She was no longer an object to be used, but a human being he developed real feelings for.
He really strongly believed that we may be together till the rest of his life. You know? So I just programmed his brain with this belief, which basically just changed his whole mindset. And that's why he started to invest into me and wanting to show everybody this is my woman.
Shortly after the spa vacation, the colonel invited Aaliyah to his office. This would not be like the visits before. He had something he wanted to give her.
He said, well, I have something for you. He gave me a box and I didn't know what is inside. And I started to open it. It was a golden necklace with some diamonds on it. And it was written my name. I never had anything like that, and it was expensive. So I was really surprised. And I had these eyes like, oh my God, wow, thank you so much. Like a little girl when daddy buys her a doll, like which she was dream of. When he saw these eyes, he started to smile. I am the man. I pleased her. And when he presented that necklace, it was sort of his love. I took it and I looked at it and he said, wear it. Don't wait, wear it. I was thinking, I cannot wear it. It's too expensive. I mean, what am I supposed to do with this? I cannot show it to my parents. They will ask me questions like, where did you take it from? And all my classmates will notice that. And I said, oh my God, I'm afraid to lose it. It's so beautiful and so expensive. And he said, don't worry, just wear it. I want you to wear it every day. So he helped me to put it on. And then he started to fuck me from behind. And he said, I want to fuck you and look at you wearing this necklace all the time. And of course, he wanted to show everybody that this is his female. And that's why he bought such an expensive necklace, to show everyone that she's mine.
Aaliyah's worries about what would happen if others noticed the necklace quickly came true when she wore the necklace to her class with the major, who was also sleeping with the colonel.
I noticed during the whole lesson she would look at me with this weird look, like she knows something. I didn't really understand, but like maybe she's in a bad mood, I don't know, because she was really nice to me in the beginning.
During a break in the class, when most of the other students were out of the room, the major approached Aaliyah.
She comes to me very close and she rips it, like she rips it off. That's how angry was her. And I was standing there and I understood that that's a problem. She didn't scream at me, but it was obvious that she was pissed. So I had this question, like, I mean, why would she react like that?
it means that she really cares about this Cornell. So if I will go and tell him about her, then it would be a problem to me. So I decided not to tell him anything, and I just collected all these pieces from the floor of this necklace and I put it into my bag.
Fortunately, the colonel was away from the academy for the next few days, so Aaliyah had a little time to figure out what to do about the necklace. Meanwhile in class, the major acted as if nothing had happened. The students were now learning the final lessons in this top-secret program. Fetishes, threesomes, and other ways to, as the major put it, get a target stuck on the sex process with the agent.
Our teacher, our major, said that if you find your target fetish or weaknesses in sex, you can dominate on that. Using these knowledges, you can make him to tell you more, to do for you more, or basically to be your sex slave. Orgies is like another fetish tool, so you can always manipulate with that. For example, if like there are two female agents and they do this, it's easier to back up each other in order to get information or terminate the target.
Aaliyah noticed that after these lessons, the other students started getting manipulated into group sex situations with various commanding officers. She felt safer being protected by the colonel, until one day, her teacher, the major, approached her again.
She called me and I came closer to her and she said, "Well, I have a special assignment for you, but you cannot talk about this to anyone. If you will do that, then I promise that you won't have any problem with me. If you won't do that, I will call to your parents and I will tell to your dad that you are a whore, and he will take you from this academy with the biggest embarrassment you can ever have, and I will tell everything about your relationship with Cornell." It was such a blackmail. I wanted to tell her, look, it's not my fault. You know him very well. You know what does he do to other students. I'm not your enemy. I'm exactly in the same shoes like you are. I don't want him. I don't like him. But when I started to talk, she said, like, shut up. And I couldn't talk. She said, we will go tonight at 8 p.m. to the hotel. She said, I have to wear something sexy and high shoes. And she said, don't you dare forget how I taught you how to walk and put the makeup. Tonight is your first mission.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you solve a crime in reverse? When you believe that someone was murdered, but have no clue who the victim was?
We have to do our job, and we have to find out, who did they kill? If it's possible, how are we going to do that?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chapter 16. the envelope.
I got prepared. I put the makeup on. I put high heels. I put this short black dress which I had. I took my bag and I went downstairs and she was waiting in the car. And she gave me an envelope. She said I have to put this envelope into informer's suitcase. She showed me his black and white picture. He's married. His child just was born. And she said that he had this access to kind of like programs or something. So just give him the envelope, but make it he wouldn't notice. We came to the hotel. We walked into the lobby. I never been in such a lavish, beautiful hotels, big lobbies and golden lamps, and it was like luxury. We walked into the bar and she said, just wait for him at the bar, and that's it. And she just left. So I sat down, I ordered a drink. And I was waiting. I had the envelope in my bag. I was thinking, okay, so I need to distract his attention so I could put this envelope into his suitcase. So he walked in, and he walked in without suitcase. And I was like, fuck. Like, what do I do? When he walked in, he saw me and he sat nearby. And for me, it was a disaster. First of all, I didn't even know how to start a conversation. Thank God he started to look at me and he asked, are you here by yourself? Yeah. And he's like, looking for new clients? And I understood that he meant that I'm a prostitute. I was thinking, actually, this is helps because look, if I can pretend that I'm a prostitute and if I can get closer to him, I may be able to give him envelope, right? And I can always find the way how to get out. So I said, yeah, just that's it. And he's like, how much? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know how much. Like, I don't have any ideas about like how much these girls take. And all I could say, I said, well, we can negotiate. He said, okay. So he took my hand and he said, follow me. I took my bag and we walked together to the elevator. And then he stopped, he looked at my body and he said, you have exactly the body of my wife, but she just gave a birth recently, so she have this extra kilos and I really miss her body. So we went to his room and I didn't want to have sex with him. Definitely not. He put on the table some cash for me, I guess, just to show me that money are here. And he's like, okay, so get undressed. And I was like a little bit starting kind of undressing myself. But I was like, oh, you mentioned that you just had a baby. Is it a boy or girl? So I tried to start a conversation on his family because I knew that time that to distract men from sexual intentions, if you would speak about family and kids, it's another topic, which is not sexy at all. And he said, yeah, I just had a baby girl and she's adorable. I'm like, oh my God, that's so nice. Do you have her pictures? He's like, oh yeah, I do. And he opened his wallet. And when he was opening his wallet, I saw that he was taking it from his suitcase, which actually was on the table. So I was like, okay, so I can put there the envelope.
Aaliyah drew out the conversation, getting him to focus on his wife and his feelings for her.
So I was listening to him with eyes full of admiration, how I was taught. And all I was thinking, just like, I need to get out from here, like ASAP, but like leaving the envelope in his suitcase so he wouldn't understand that I gave it to him. And I said, listen, you love her so much, but do you often use services of prostitutes? And he said, no, I don't. I got so bored and I just wanted to talk to someone and there was nobody apart from you. And I was like, thank God. This is just like much better for me. So he said, do you mind if you'll just talk? Like, is it okay for you if you won't have sex? And I'm like, yes, of course, it's totally fine. Just let's talk. I love the conversation.
Aaliyah and her target continued drinking and talking.
About like 40, 50 minutes, he said, I'm going to the toilet. And it was perfect because I could put the envelope into his suitcase. So the minute he closed the door, I quickly stand up and I took the envelope. It was closed, so I never had a chance to open it and see what's inside. But when I opened his suitcase, I saw many, many papers. And I understood there was some important information. So I put the envelope there and I closed the suitcase. And then when he came back, I was sitting in the same position in the same place. He didn't notice anything. He was talking and
eventually, her target said he had to sleep and catch a flight in the morning.
So he said, yeah, I feel tired. But yeah, thank you so much for the conversation. Money are there on the table. So I took the money. I put it into my purse and I walked out from his room. So I thought, I did it nicely. The job is done. Thank God I didn't need to sleep with him. It's perfect. I was like, okay, so, you know, in the morning, I will tell Major that I did my job successfully and it was amazing and all this stuff. Next morning, the colonel called for me. I thought he just like wants to see me just for his routine. But it was quite early. So I had to leave the lesson and go into his office. And the moment I walked in, he started to scream, like screaming. What the hell are you thinking? Why would you do this? Why didn't you tell me? You like you destroyed everything we did for the last few months. And I couldn't understand what he was talking about.
Apparently, whatever was in this envelope, or perhaps the way it was delivered, spooked the target, and it somehow got back to the colonel. However, the colonel seemed less upset about the mission being possibly blown than about the fact that Aaliyah had been alone in a hotel room with this man.
The first thing he asked me, did you have sex with him? I said, no. And he said, don't lie to me. I said, no, I didn't. And he asked me, like, how long were you there? I said, like, well, about an hour. And what were you doing for the whole hour? I said, like, we just were talking about his family. And he said, this is bullshit. Don't lie to me. What really happened? And I said, like, nothing happened. We didn't even kiss. We were just talking. He's a nice guy. But first of all, the colonel was really jealous. Second, he was a control freak. And he didn't believe me. So yes, it did compromise my relationship with him.
After that day, Aaliyah didn't see the major again. Her teacher had either been retired or sent elsewhere. Rather than celebrate this as a victory over her rival, Aaliyah saw it as a grim warning of the fate that awaited her in this corrupt system.
I said to myself, I don't want to end up like her. living in that life, like in the cage, having no family, no children, no real man who really loves you, who really cares about you, where you just committed and devoted to do what your country wants you to do, and you just become older, and in the end, when you become an old dog, they just threw you out of the system, give you a small pension, and you dying alone.
Aaliyah's story continues in episode 8, available now.
We had a dinner. It looked normal in the beginning, but it wasn't. It took me many years to understand what really happened that night.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. For full credits, check out our show notes.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you solve a crime in reverse when you believe that someone was murdered but have no clue who the victim was?
We have to do our job, and we have to find out who did they kill? If it's possible, how are we going to do that?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.